The epistle for this, the 20th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, see to it that you walk with care, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not become foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is according to St. John. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, there was a certain royal official whose son was lying sick in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea into Galilee, he went to him and besought him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Jesus therefore said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you do not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go thy way, thy son lives." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and departed. But even as he was now going down, his servants met him and brought word saying that his son lived. He asked of them therefore the hour in which he had got better, and they told him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him." And the father knew then that it was at that very hour in which Jesus had said to him, "Thy son lives," and he himself believed in his whole household. This is the end of the epistle and gospel reading. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Because the days are evil. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Paul, again, admonishing his recently converted Ephesians how to behave themselves, being careful not to go backwards into their old former habits, but to show the good example. It looks like here that St. Paul doesn't recommend them to go out and preach, but their example is doing exactly that. He wants them to be careful that they don't become drunk or with debauchery, but to offer up their daily doings, their daily works, to be charitable to one another, to show their good works before men. In this way, slowly but surely, others who see will be convinced and change their lives. Also, he says here at the end, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ, meaning that we should do our best to obey those who are above us to the best of our ability. This sometimes can be hard, but we have to do our best because after all, we have to bear with each other's burdens. For then we're fulfilling the law of Christ. In the Holy Gospel, our Lord is complaining a little bit that unless you see signs and wonders, you do not believe. If you remember, there was another centurion that also approached our Lord and pretty much said the same thing. Our Lord said, "Sure, I'll come and heal him." But this centurion said, no, that's not necessary. I have soldiers and they come and go at my will. Just say the word and it's sufficient for me." And if you recall, our Lord marveled over this man's faith. This centurion was a little bit in doubt. He heard of Jesus coming up from Judea into Galilee, left his house, his sick son, with some type of hope and faith that our Lord would do something. He's skeptical. And when he met him, he started pleading with him. And our Lord was kind of ignoring him a little bit. But he said, "Please, sir, come down and heal my son." And our Lord says, "Go thy way, thy son lives." And as he's walking back, he's probably thinking, "Is that all? All right." But as he was contemplating on this, wondering, still a little not sure, the doubts are pretty predominant in his mind, here comes the servants. "Sir, all is well, thy son lives." "What? Yeah. At what hour?" "Yesterday at the seventh hour." He recalled real quickly, our Lord said, "Thy son liveth." And his whole house believed. The thing is here that our Lord wants us to trust him. Do we really need signs and wonders to believe in the Son of God? Isn't his word sufficient enough? "If you love me, keep my commandments. Do your daily duties to the best of your ability. Be charitable to one another. Help one another. These are all the works." Unfortunately, self-will gets in the way. And here also, of course, that was in St. Paul's epistle about time, but here too about time, how important time is. This man was so concerned that his son might die. As I said earlier, he went and traveled up to get to our Lord, trying to do something for this, because time is running out. He knew this. Our time, too, is kind of on a running out scale, too, for we know not the hour or the day. But we do know some people that know all about time, and that's the souls in hell. They know exactly how precious time is. How often have they said, "If I could have just one more day, one more hour, I would suffer anything. I would take on all the penances of the world. I would do anything to get out of this place that I myself put me in." Yes, they know how precious time is, and they lost it. Or they criticize themselves of how stupid they were, trying to fulfill their own needs and their own wishes and ignoring everything else. And it caught up to him. And then what? Kind of reminds us of the man who was building his barns. Weren't big enough, weren't good enough. So he tore them down and built bigger ones. And everything was well and done. He says, "Oh, now it's all finished. Now I can sit back and relax. I feel secure. Nothing can possibly go wrong." And our Lord says, "Thou fool. This very hour thou shalt make recompense of thyself." All that work for nothing. We have to watch. We have to pray. We don't want to be deceived by anyone. It's very hard in these days and times to keep our minds focused on what's important. Trying to always keep our priorities in the right order. These days are evil, there's no question about it. And they're going to get worse. Why? Because man's sin. Man continues on clamoring in sin, challenging God, or should I say maybe even mocking him to a point. But they're challenging him. It's like it says in Scripture, they don't believe, well, God doesn't see anything. He didn't see what's going on. He's not going to do nothing. Watch. Look what we're doing today. Well, all the immorality and abortions and God knows what else. And, oh, look, he's not doing nothing. It's okay. Everybody else is doing it. It's perfectly fine. Our Lord is sending us punishment after punishment. It starts off slowly. Trying to wake up man. How can you wake up man? By backing off a little bit. Letting them fall into their own demise. Doing their own will. till they wake up and see that the evil that they're doing. And we wonder, well, he should strike them down now. It's not the way he works. We never know when the light of grace is going to enter into a soul and he be converted. That's why we have to be very careful when we read the news or anything. We get mad at these politicians, and boy, we could really go off on them. You know, these, we got to calm that down a bit. Because the past kind of comes into the future here, or to the present. Don Bosco had a problem, too, with a person. This is similar to, I guess, like a mayor. And this guy was against him about everything. He didn't want those children's boarding houses. He didn't want nothing. He just wanted to go out and make this priest, his life, miserable. And he did everything in his power to make him miserable. This person was a Catholic too. Everything. Every step and turn, Don Bosco had a problem with this guy. He was always in his way. Till one fine day, the poor mayor got sick. Of all the people on earth, he could have called anybody. He calls Don Bosco. Don Bosco goes over there, hears the man's confession, absolves him of all his sins, tells him a way to get out of the restrictions that he put on his boarding homes, and this person dies in a state of grace. And from that day forward, every year, Don Bosco had a special mass and prayer said for this, his greatest benefactor, which was his pain in the neck before. So we don't know. That's why we have to pray for these people. And that's the good example that we can give them, is our prayers. Also remember the other things, too, that our Lord doesn't particularly care for. And we pray it in the reparation of the Sacred Heart, of the upcoming of dress and behavior. Look at how the people are behaving today with the ridiculous hairstyles, tattoos. I can't think of the other thing. What is it? Ear piercings, body piercings all over the place, and haircuts. And they're just, and you kind of look at these people and you say, well, what is this? Why are they doing this? There's only one author, of course, who's promoting this, but, you know, some of them, I hate to say, do look hideous. But why all of a sudden is the importance of all this? Does it promote me? Is it for God? I'm not saying that tattoos are bad. I have to admit, they've overkilled it, but the thing is why? Did we forget that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit and we want to decorate it for him? I don't think he needs any decorations. We have to step back and take a real good look the way things are right now. And ask ourselves, do I really want to fit in to this crowd? Do I really want to follow my friends the way what they're doing? Come on, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Nobody will know. We won't tell anybody. We want to love God. We want to do His will. We have to follow the examples of those who set before us. And for the youth, they should remember the little saint, Maria Goretti. Do we know the life of Maria Goretti? How she suffered for the sake of purity? The very thing this world seems to have an overdose of addiction to? How she fought for it and won? God's not asking for much. All He wants you to do is to love Him, to serve Him, to know Him, and to be happy with Him for all eternity. For after all, He has not entered in a man's heart, his mind or his heart, or even conceived of this. What good things our Lord has set aside for those who love him. God bless you. In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.